Here we go.
Local and national sports talk that's fresh, in season, and FDA approved. If it's hot, you'll find it cooking with Jeff, Jay, and Kelly. Mm-mm. They don't just stir the pot. They add more flavor than the other guys. Get ready to dig in and taste some sports skillet.
Ooh, tastes good.
Right now.
And welcome to another edition of the Sports Skillet live stream emanating from the CSB studios in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I am Jay, and we welcome you to the Sports Skillet podcast. We're going to be talking a lot of Phillies. We're going to be talking also some other stuff as well. We got our golf outing coming up. We want to make sure everybody is aware of that. So let me just adjust the camera a little bit. And yes, the golf outing is coming up on Monday, July the 22nd. And we want to invite everybody out to Cherry Valley Country Club for our golf outings. You know, guys, exotic vacations, plane trips abroad, new adventures, they all add up to the perfect summer, right? Well, sometimes new and memorable experiences don't require mortgaging the house or even booking a flight somewhere. Do you know that discovering a hidden gem close to home can be even more rewarding than a well-planned faraway vacation? If you have not experienced the serenity and beauty of Cherry Valley Country Club, by the way, it was awarded the 2016 Club of the Year by the New Jersey Golf Foundation, you simply must sign up today for the 11th annual Tony Muschietti Knights of Columbus Memorial Golf Outing on Monday, July the 22nd. We promise this and so much more. Delicious breakfast and lunch buffets prepared by award-winning chef Chris. Chance to win a foursome at the Trump National in Bedminster. When are you ever going to get a chance to do that? Chances to win foursomes, top-of-the-line clubs and lessons. A voucher for a free golf club for everyone that comes out. Witness our first ever helicopter ball drop. We've got a $10,000 hole-in-one contest. And if you're still on the fence about it, at the end of the day, when you're done golfing, when you're done enjoying the delicious lunch buffet, when you're done trying to win our beer tower, which we just had our golf meeting yesterday, and let me tell you, the beer tower is immense. It's huge. It will keep you satisfied for the rest of the summer. So if you're not on the fence, if you're still on the fence, you can jump in and relax in Cherry Valley's Olympic-sized pool for just an extra $15 when you're done golfing, when you're done eating. Have a dip in the pool, just an extra $15. New experiences don't always require exhaustive plans and costs. Sign up today for just $160. It's right there on our website. Just go to sportsskilletradio.com. You can download our app so you don't miss anything. You can hear our live streams. You can also sign up for the golf outing. We want to see you there Monday, July 22nd. Take a three-day weekend and just come out and golf with us and have a fun time. And now, as always, we want to bring into the conversation our good friend Ken Moskowitz. Ken, how are you doing today?
How we doing, Jay? How we doing, all family? Good Friday to all of you.
Happy Friday to you. Hopefully you got some good plans for this weekend, because finally it seems like the nasty weather, the wet weather and the winds are out of the way.
I'll tell you, it, from, you know what, from looking at all the radars and the forecast and that from New York down to Philadelphia and back again, I mean, by golly, I've never seen anything like it in my 45-year existence. I mean, unbelievable. But let's put it this way: at least one good thing, the Phillies are on the left coast, so that's one good thing.
Exactly. They're not going to. So any weather we get, any storms that come through, the Phillies will not be a part of it. They weathered the storm. With the St. Louis Cardinals this past week, they took 2 out of 3 from the Cards. I think that's another positive sign from our Philadelphia Phillies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mind you know, 2 rain delays, not 1, but 2 rain delays. And lo and behold, they, like you say, they weathered the storm. I couldn't put it in better terms. And, you know, again, they keep, you know, again, we both say it and we both agree on it. Just keep taking 2 of 3.
Yep.
3, or in this case, 3 of 4, you know, or worst case scenario in a 4-game set, you split. But
yep.
Keep going with the 2 of 3, or sweep, for, you know, I mean, this team, you know, despite all the little nuances and debacles here and there, you know, I mean, how they're doing it, hey, you know, I don't know, but let's keep the ball rolling.
Exactly. And towards the end of the segment, we'll go over the pitching matchups that they've got out in L.A. this week. But we had an unfortunate situation take place early in the week. Odubel Herrera was placed on the administration list, the commissioner's list, whatever you want to call it. MLB has suspended him. And he was suspended due to a domestic violence situation down in Atlantic City.
What seems to be, and part of me too, that, you know, what seems to be an unfortunate hub for you know, these unfortunate happenings. And
yep.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. I mean, I have to think that probably it'll come out later on that alcohol was... I'm not absolving Odubel Herrera. Let me put this out there. I am not absolving Odubel Herrera in any way, shape, or form. But I do think when all is said and done, there's probably going to be alcohol involved in this situation, you know, either with Odubel Herrera or with his girlfriend or with the both of them. I think that is going to be a factor in this. But again, Odubel Herrera, even if both of them have consumed alcohol before this situation occurred, that doesn't absolve anything of what Odubel Herrera did. And yes, he does deserve to be suspended. And yes, it's probably going to be upwards of 40 games if you're looking at the Addison Russell situation with the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
They had a domestic violence situation with him. He got 40 games. So you're probably looking at least that many with Odubel Herrera, or around that many. So he's getting ready to be suspended. Now the question is, once that 40-game suspension is over, what do we do? What do the Phillies do with Odubel Herrera?
Well, I mean, you know, it's going to be an interesting interesting set of circumstances on what, you know, Matt Klentak and I'm not doubting, obviously, John Middleton as well, you know, because at the end of the day, this is, John, you know, I would suspect it would be John Middleton's call on this, because, you know, look, we all know that they're in the midst of a nice run so far. The last thing, the absolute last thing that this team needs, that the fans need, okay, is this unfortunate distraction. And hopefully, you know, look, yeah, in Odubel's defense, if any, hopefully this gets resolved ASAP. Hopefully, if he does get back on the field with the Phillies, hopefully he, you know, can very well contribute. Of course, we know that unfortunately remains to be seen somewhat. But you know, but again, otherwise, does alcohol play a factor in this? We don't know for sure. It most likely is the case. I mean, at the end of the day, unfortunately, we can't make that judgment call.
Yeah.
But, overall, it does not look good. In my opinion, it doesn't look good overall for Herrera at all.
No, and I think Herrera was going down on the Phillies' list of players that they like. I think, they were going to be packaging him in whatever they were going to attempt to do in terms of getting a relief pitcher or a starting pitcher or a bench bat. I have to believe that Matt Klentak was going to put him, Odubel, in that package because they have other center fielders that they can roll with. Scotty Kingery is learning the position. We saw him misplay a foul fly ball into the gap in one of the games versus the Cardinals. He was going back on it, and I guess he must have thought the ball was going to be a home run, and instead it hit the wall and bounced back where, he could have maybe made a play on it if he continued and jumped up against the wall. So Kingery is still learning the position, but he has speed enough to play it, and, he might turn into a decent center fielder. They have McCutchen who can slide over and play some center field on occasion, and that'll allow Nick Williams to get some at-bats over there in left field. You also have Roman Quinn. Maybe he comes back. Right now, he's been shut down again as he's trying to battle back from some injuries and get off of the injured list. So we don't know his status is still up in the air. But what you do know, and what the Phillies do have down in AAA, is Adam Haseley, who's rocketing through the Phillies minor league system.
Right. That's right. It's going to be a very interesting next several weeks, at least the next several weeks, to see, Haseley turns out.
I'm genuinely excited about him. I don't know about
I really am myself as well. I'm also excited to see, Scotty Jetpacks works out in center as well. I mean, I can really honestly see a really good little center fielder. I mean, the last time that we actually did see a nice little center fielder way back in the day was, somebody by the nickname of Nails. So
he had some issues too.
No doubt. I mean, look, nobody's perfect, it would be awesome to see a nice little speedy center fielder who can get to, every fly ball possible. Hopefully what could be robbing, those sluggers of the opposing teams of home runs. And it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. And I think once he learns center field, I think he'll be a fine center fielder if that's the Phillies' plans for him. Or if they're going to keep him as a multi-utility player and just play him just about every day but in a different position. That would be interesting, too, if they promote Haseley, give him center field, and move Kingery around, give him a game in center, give him a game at shortstop, second base. And that's the other thing, too. Second base with Cesar Hernandez, he had a few chances yesterday to give the Phillies the lead against the St. Louis Cardinals. Came up a little bit short, batting behind Rhys Hoskins, but he's been doing extremely well this year.
He has. Let's also not forget as well, who's starting to, come around and has been coming around quite a bit of late. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was actually 3 for 4 yesterday was, of course, our star of the show as of right now, Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's starting to heat up, and I think if he heats up, that heats up the rest of the Phillies lineup. Because now all of a sudden you don't want to pitch to Bryce Harper, so now who do you pitch to? Gene Segura, who's batting in front of him, or Rhys Hoskins, who's batting behind him? We saw St. Louis walk Rhys Hoskins a couple of times in yesterday's game to get to Cesar Hernandez. Now, normally that would be Realmuto batting behind Rhys, so maybe if Harper continues to heat up, now all of a sudden maybe Hoskins gets walked and now Realmuto starts emerging even a little bit more than what he has been this year.
Right. No doubt about it. I could see starting tomorrow. I could really honestly see June being a magnificent month. That I believe this June, this month coming, will be the propelling upswing type of month that the Phillies are going to have. I could see them emerging as the best team in all of baseball at the end of June here. I really can.
Well, switching the topics a little bit, and we will end with the Phillies, but switching the topics a little bit, wanted to bring up the Joe Douglas situation, and I just got an alert on my phone that Eagles executive Joe Douglas appears to be in line to take over as Jets GM, barring a poor interview this weekend. Eagles may be losing Joe Douglas. I think that's going to be a huge loss to the Birds. What do you think?
Yeah, yes. What will happen will, of course, happen. I'll say it again in regards to Douglas. If a fine, a huge fine asset to a world-class organization like the Philadelphia Eagles, I would have to say, if not one of the best drafters in all of professional sports, he has got to be up there, tops as far as drafters go. Howie's right hand man, of course. Look, I mean, if all goes well in the interview process here in New York with the Jets organization, look, the Jets are going to get themselves a mighty fine professional who, and from seeing the Jets in recent years, in my opinion, I will have to say he could very well, if it would be one man to turn it all around, and I have a feeling it would be in a matter of 2 years or less. And what I would say, watch out AFC East at least, because you get a few. They had a nice off season. The Jets did.
I think so.
All eyes will be on Le'Veon Bell to see what he's like, how he performs after a whole year of sitting. Of course, not counting, I'm sure he worked out, did his routines the way he should, like as if it were an off season. But all eyes will be on him. All eyes will, of course, be on the sophomore year of Sam Darnold. Again, I think if they do land Joe, my prediction would be, and I'll go out and say it, it'll be 2 years or less, and then you may see the Jets become at least a perennial to take what would be once and for all the Patriots, and then just keep climbing from there.
It could happen. Joe Douglas, like I said, I think Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman over the past few years since he was hired by the Eagles. I think he and Howie Roseman have made a tremendous pair to build the Eagles up in this, into this perennial playoff, if not Super Bowl contender, because you had Howie Roseman doing what he does best, working the contracts, working the draft, getting draft picks in there, maneuvering around, you know, churning the bottom half of the roster. And Joe Douglas and his team are tremendous talent evaluators, bringing in the right kind of personnel to build the Eagles into what they are today. I don't know if the Eagles are where they are without Joe Douglas. I mean, Howie Roseman would have been okay, but I think having a tremendous talent evaluator like Joe Douglas, you know, as his right-hand man, made the Eagles even better. And what you also have to worry about, too, is with a move like this, how many other executives and scouts currently working for the Eagles is Joe Douglas going to take with him, such as Andy Widell? Is Andy Widell going to get a promotion with the Eagles, or is he going to leave with Joe Douglas and get a promotion with the Jets and stay working with Joe Douglas? What's going to happen?
Right.
You know, what's going to happen with Andy Widell? What's going to happen with a number of these other scouts that Joe Douglas may enjoy working with, may have counted on? They may be headed up the turnpike to the Meadowlands to take over the Jets with Joe Douglas. So it may not. What people have to realize is not only are you losing a tremendous talent evaluator like Joe Douglas, but how many people is he taking with him? You know, how gutted are the Eagles going to be all of a sudden? That's
right.
Something that people have to keep in mind, too. It's not just Joe Douglas. It's other people in that scouting department and front office, too.
Right. Yeah. It's gonna be an interesting eyeful to keep a watch on. For everyone, you, I, and Eagles Nation out there, you know, we do hope that Douglas does stay. Obviously, if not, I do believe in my heart of hearts that both Howie Roseman and Don Smolenski, along with Jeffrey Lurie, of course, will do the evaluations. Make all the necessary evaluations possible to get someone in there to be either equivalent or up above what we have had currently with Joe, and I do believe that. I can't see Douglas leaving the Eagles and us falling by the wayside and getting a tier lower than what we've had with Joe Douglas. This is too great and too world class of an organization to fall by the wayside like that. I can't see that happening.
I'm with you there. I think it'll be interesting going forward to see who the Eagles replace if Joe Douglas does decide to take the job, and apparently from all indications it's going to be his decision. I'm sure Howie Roseman is going to do whatever he can to kind of keep Joe Douglas in the nest and as part of the Eagles organization, but it just may not be enough. It may be Joe Douglas just wanting to set out on his own to run the show, to work with Adam Gase. And that's an interesting situation, too. You don't often see the head coach hiring the general manager. Usually it's the other way around, but I think it'll be Joe Douglas's decision on what he wants to do. Does he want to keep working with Howie and maybe take another job down the line? Because I do think there will be other jobs for Joe Douglas. Does he feel the Jets are the right fit for him at this time? Or does he want to remain with the Eagles, maybe get to another Super Bowl and maybe pick another team to go to? And it will be interesting to see who they replace him with.
It's going to be an interesting watch to, you know, to keep an eye or two out on. We'll see what happens.
And a former Bird had some bad news on Twitter recently. Nick Foles and his wife, or Instagram, I should say, it's spreading out over social media, but former Eagles quarterback and Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles and his wife had a miscarriage this past weekend. Very sad to hear about that. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Nick Foles and his wife and their family. Yes. As they deal with this horrible situation.
Yes, and on top of that too, what is doubly worse, from what I understand too, she had pneumonia on top of this miscarriage.
Yeah, it was like pneumonia got into her bloodstream and that caused the miscarriage, from what I read.
Oh my heavens! We all, Eagles Nation, the Philadelphia area. I mean, you know, they'll always be family to us. And our thoughts and prayers and love and support go out to Nick, Tori, and all of their families.
Oh, without question.
Yeah. Yep.
You know.
And I just wanted to sort of jump off topic one quick note.
Go for it.
And especially to those that are listening in the New York City area. I'm sure as all have heard by now, tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, WPLJ 95.5 FM, after 48 years, will no longer be.
Unbelievable.
Probably one of the most... I would have to say it's one of the most saddest times in New York City's history. I grew up a little bit with Jim Kerr and the Morning Crew prior to his being on within the last 15, 20 years at Q104.3. Scott Shannon, of course, who was there at least the last 20, 25 years prior to WCBS. The list goes on and on. If you happen to tune in tonight, right prior to 7, if I read it correctly, I believe it's Race Taylor, who's been there just shy of 20 years. It will be the final DJ. I'm sure he'll be closing out shop with a few touching words and that too. So it'll be interesting to tune in and to find out. For those that, you know, Godspeed WPLJ and
That's one of my favorite stations, too, in the New York area. They did a really good job for a great many years with the morning show up there.
Joe Nolan, Bill Evans, Shelley Sunstein, Carol Miller, who's still on radio with WNEW. I mean, the list goes on.
Scott Shannon was a morning show DJ up there. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I could go on forever, but you know, time is permitted. So
yeah, it's just.
It certainly will be missed. It'd be interesting to see, you know, where quite a few of the DJs and that where they truck on from there. Will remain to be seen. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and it breaks my heart every time a radio station goes dark, especially one that has been as popular over the years as PLJ. It just breaks my heart whenever a radio station goes dark.
It does, and very quick, too, just to point out. And I just learned this today as well. It's not actually the first time. There was only one other time that they went dark, and it was only for 15 minutes, mind you. That was... back in December of 1980, where, of course, as, you know, Beatle fans, Beatle maniacs would know, of course, which, you know, the unfortunate assassination of John Lennon. Yoko Ono had called into the radio station, asked, I believe it was Jimmy Fink, who was the DJ, to have a moment of silence, go black for 15 minutes, dark out for 15, and sure enough, the DJ, you know, he got the permission from the heads, and sure enough, they went dark for 15 minutes,
awesome.
You know, for a moment of silence. I never knew that until this morning. So, you know, very interesting tidbit, you know, fact type of thing there.
Very cool. And of course, you wanted to give a shout out to Diana Williams as well.
Oh yeah, yes. In my opinion, she's an icon of sorts, in here in New York as well. You know, for the currently 5 p.m. broadcast of New York's Eyewitness News on WABC TV, Channel 7. You know, she worked obviously with Bill Buitel, the late legendary Bill Buitel. She will be leaving in September after 29 years of being the anchor / field reporter for WABC TV. And she's not going anywhere yet, folks. So no need to worry yet. So, but if I had read it correctly, she did ask Bill Ritter, who the current 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. broadcast anchor for Eyewitness News here in New York. She asked him to anchor with her for the last broadcast. So,
very cool.
Know, come September, you know, that ought to be interesting to see too. But I mean, it's all over the board. It's all over the board between New York and Philadelphia. I've been reading a lot about, you know, all these veteran anchors that have you know, that are stepping down, and even camera people too.
Yep.
I mean, look at KYW TV.
Yeah.
I mean, they had, I think, in a matter of a week, I'd like to say, three cameramen who, to the days of when they were NBC, they're retiring after 40, 50 years. It's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing. But I mean, you know, you gotta somehow, some way, sooner or later, go with new fresh faces. So new fresh faces, and of course, some are, you know, that go by the name of modern technology too. So
you got that right.
So, you know, but we obviously wish Diana all the best, and to all the employees and DJs and personalities, you name it, from WPLJ there in New York City. So we wish everyone all the best.
Absolutely, we sure do. And as we wrap up here this week with you, Ken, we want to take a look at this series we have with the LA Dodgers. They are a hot team. We've got Jake Arrieta versus Kenta Maeda tonight. Zach Eflin against Clayton Kershaw on Saturday, and Nick Pivetta versus Rich Hill on Sunday. How do you see this series going? Can the Phillies take 2 out of 3? Will they win 1 out of 3? Will they get swept? What do you think we do?
I think the first two games will be a battle, but I do think we will win it in the end. I do see 2 of 3. Against the Dodger Blue there. You know, it's always interesting to go out and, you know, go out to LA, you know, to see and face the Dodgers. You know, in my opinion, it's always been a bit of a under the radar type of rivalry.
A little bit.
You know, but, it's a nice meet.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed the nice meet that they, you know, that they'd always have, you know, together. And mind you, even when the Dodgers are in Philadelphia as well, but it seems like it's more of it captures that, that even better moment, if you will, being that it's, you know, Hollywood and, you know, whenever the Phillies are out there. So I always enjoyed seeing that too on, you know, on TV. So, it ought to be interesting. I do say 2 or 3, the first 2 games we'll take. And of course we'll see what Nick Pivette is like, you know, now that he's back. And, and then of course there's the Padres as well. So I do see 2 of 3 down I-5 there in San Diego, you know, when they meet up on I believe it's Monday.
Hey, you know, there might be a good photo opportunity with Bryce Harper shaking hands with the Padres, third baseman, shortstop,
out there. Someone named Manny.
Somebody named Manny. You know, I'm sure the two will commiserate a little bit.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know,
definitely. So, but I do see this being a nice road trip before coming back to the bank for the Reds. So I do... This will be very interesting because I can see the next at least, what are we talking, 3, 6, 9 ball right. games. I could see them basically walking away from this at least either 7-2 in the next 9 games or 6-3. So I have all the hope in the world for our fighting Phils.
I do too. I just want Arrieta and Eflin. Pivetta, is kind of up in the air. He's literally battling for his rotation spot right now because if he has a bad game, he could get sent back down to AAA. Who knows what happens with Pivetta? You know, if he has a bad start. Do the Phillies hang with him for one more start after that, or do they just automatically send him down and ship him out? But as far as Arrieta and Eflin go, the first 2 days of the ballgame, they need to pitch deep because the Phillies' bullpen right now is beat up. It really is with Arano and Hunter and Morgan and Pat Neshek and Eudibre Ramos and David Robinson all on the injured list. These guys, the Phillies, and we say it each and every week here, these guys are guys that the Phillies were counting on, especially Adam Morgan. He was one of 2 lefties pitching out of the pen. Now they're down to 1. So you want to stay away from the bullpen as much as you can. So it'll be incumbent upon Arrieta and Eflin to pitch deep into the game and to manage their pitch count. If their pitch count is high and they have to come out in the 5th inning or the 6th inning because of their pitch count, that could be problematic for the Phillies winning this because now you're getting into the middle of the Phillies' bullpen, and right. that may not be an area where you want the Phillies to be against this hot, red-hot, scorching-hot Dodger lineup.
Well, yeah.
You really don't.
It's the highest of high points and very important that they need both Arrieta and Eflin to really perform magic, if you will. I mean, they have to really, like you say, they have to, have that durability to go deep. And what hopefully will have some, valuable innings in favor of the Phillies and in favor of Arrieta and Eflin so that they go deep in the game. They go 7 innings or 7 2/3 innings. What hopefully perhaps maybe could be a complete game, but they have to go deep and they have to manage manage their pitch counts to the umpteenth degree as much as possible. I mean, for as much as I've always believed in the words of Nolan Ryan, let them pitch.
Exactly.
Look, there's part of me gets it, it's the day and age, the tide's turned, but I do hope for at least these first 2 games, game at a time, let's hope these first two games in L.A. this weekend will be good ones.
And right quick before we let you go, Ken, do the Raptors take a 2-0 lead on Sunday, or do the Golden State Warriors tie up the NBA Finals?
Tied up.
All right.
Tied up.
You're with Kelly on that one. She is a huge Golden State Warriors fan, so she will like your prediction, I'm sure.
I mean, like, I just want them – I still think you know, the Warriors have that talent. Yes, despite Durant and all that hubbub, I believe they still have that talent enough where they can overtake, no matter if it's in, you know, this case, you know, whatever, five games, seven games. I believe they'll overtake the Raptors.
Gotcha.
Anything for revenge against the Raptors, in my opinion, is great. So,
all right. So as we let you go, Ken, can you let everybody know how they can find you on social media?
Absolutely. Ken Moskowitz, parenthesis crossing guard Ken on Facebook, and both on Twitter and Instagram, Skywarn Spotter Ken.
All right, Ken, we look forward to talking with you again next week. Have an awesome weekend. Enjoy. And hopefully when we talk to you next week, we are talking about Philly's series victory over those L.A. Dodgers.
And hopefully putting distance in, you know, from the Braves and the Mets as well. So
there you
go. What happens.
All right, Ken, have a great weekend.
You too. Take care, family.
All right. And, of course, that was Ken. We love having him on the show every week, and we look forward to his call. And right now what we are going to do is we are going to take a brief timeout. We're going to pay some bills. So enjoy this brief timeout. And on the other side, we will be talking to Pat Ragazzo. So keep it locked right here. The Sports Skillet live stream continues on.
Now say this out loud as you're driving around in your car.
Join Sports Skillet.
Just what it feels like.
So how do you like it?
So what is it? I'm curious.
You like it like this?
My God, do we love football.
Or like this?
I love the sport of baseball.
And what about this?
You can have a sports show without all the vicious talk.
Simple human decency.
Whatever it is that you like.
Yeah, I like chaos.
We've got it covered.
Right? Right?
It's sports the way you like it.
My friends, you may not know this. It's got everything you want. Here we go.
Local and national sports talk that's fresh, in season, and FDA approved.
If it's hot, okay, you'll find it cooking with Jeff, Jay, and Kelly.
Mm-mm.
They don't just stir the pot. They add more flavor than the other guys. Get ready to dig in and taste some sports skillet.
Ooh, tastes good.
Remember the TV show Cheers, where everybody knows your name? Never been there. But every time I walk into Wildflowers Restaurant on Pennington Circle, I feel at home and that I belong. Friday night, I headed over to Wildflowers, and even though it was packed, I easily found a seat at the bar and got cozy with 17 TVs. Baseball, golf, entertainment TV, you name it, including all NFL games. The bartender Dave suggested I order the Buffalo Wing Sampler, and you could tell he was a fervid fan. But reviews on Wildflowers Inn Restaurant Facebook page demanded I tried the garbage truck pizza, and Kelly had just arrived and promised to help me dig in. Then it came. Garbage truck pizza does not live up to its name because it smells amazing and it tastes even better. Freshly sliced peppers and pepperoni, garlic, mushrooms, mozzarella, and meatballs all baked on this incredibly crunchy and warm double crust to hold it all together perfectly. Heaven, especially with one of their 23 beers on tap. I'm a believer. Go to wildflowersinrestaurant.com for more info or just come in. They are conveniently located on the Pennington Circle, right near I-95. I promise you, they will welcome you warmly, feed you well, and perhaps soon even know your name.
Listening to the Sports Skillet Radio Show, where we're grilling up all the hot takes. Jump in with yours at 609-919-9200 And don't forget to download our app at sportsskilletradio.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Just search on Sports Skillet. And don't forget to show us some love. Like, follow, and share.
And we are back here on the Sports Skillet Radio Show. Thank you for joining us each and every week here on our YouTube channel. And reminder, if you miss any portion of the show, feel free to go to our website or our social media channels, and you can download the show, revisit the show at your convenience. And right now, we're going to bring on to the show, as we do every week, from USA Today Sports and Fansided.com, Pat Ragazzo. Check out his work at MetsMorize.com and the Giants Wire. And please give him a follow at Ragazzo Report. Pat, how are you doing this week?
I'm great, Jay. How are you, buddy? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. We love having you on every week. Hope you had a good holiday weekend.
Oh, it was fantastic. What about yourself?
I did okay. Went to a nice barbecue, had some family time. Definitely a good holiday weekend for us here. Not so good of a trip out west for the New York Mets, though.
So far, no. But, I mean, it was as expected. The team really should have split the series 2-2, and they let the 5-run lead they had the other night in the third game on Wednesday night, unfortunately, get away from them. But I mean, the Dodgers have the second best record in the league right now, behind the Minnesota Twins. The Dodgers also lead the NL in wins right now, so they're a tough team and a tough matchup. Now the Mets head to Arizona tonight for 3 games, and are still out west, and they need to capitalize in this series, absolutely. So.
When the Mets blew that lead against the Dodgers, how big of a loss do you think that was to the Mets?
I mean, it was a pretty crushing loss. It was kind of a head-scratcher for manager Mickey Callaway to bring in his top 3 relievers when they had a 5-run lead, when all 3 had worked the previous day and have worked a lot out of the last 10 days or so, when the team has actually been playing well. They managed to crawl back to 500, and they had an impressive win on Tuesday night in the second game, 8-3. And, you know, everything was going great for the first two-thirds of the game on Wednesday night. And then Rob Gsellman comes in the seventh. He gives up a run. It's 8-4. And Familia gives up a home run in the eighth and to make it 8-5. And then Diaz came in, and they were jumping all over him. He actually managed to get ahead in every single count, 0-2, and he wasn't able to put guys away. The Mets actually kept Mickey Callaway specifically, then had accused them possibly of stealing signs.
Maybe. It is a possibility. Do you think the Mets do anything with their closer position, or do you think Diaz remains the closer? What do you think the Mets are going to do going forward?
I think Diaz definitely remains the closer. I think this is more of just a little bit of fatigue he's been going through. He's pitched 8 out of the last 11 games leading up to last night, so it's clear he's overworked. In his last 8 outings, he had something near around 180 pitches, so the guy's really, he's been asked to do a lot. I know it's his job, he's the closer, but, we're not even into June yet, and the guy's already seems to be a bit burnt out. But as you mentioned about the closer, while they don't need to replace their closer, I do feel that they need to add to the back end of the bullpen desperately. Seth Lugo, luckily, is expected to be coming back in this series, hopefully against the Diamondbacks. But a guy like Craig Kimbrell becomes pretty much on the market again tomorrow once the draft pick price is lifted for him, so as of June 1st. So I think the Mets should be big players on Kimbrel because they could really use the bullpen help right now.
So you think the Mets are still in the buying category and not in the seller category just yet?
Absolutely. They're only the despite being two games under 500, they're only 2.5 games out of the playoff spot right now, and 2.5 behind the Braves for second, and then also for the second wild card as well. So they're very much in it. You know, they went all in, and we're not even into June yet. I think that they definitely we'll see over the next month and a half or so, whether they're going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline. But right now, they absolutely have to be buyers.
I would think so. I think, like you said, you illustrated it perfectly. They're still at least, I mean, I know they're, what, six games behind the Phillies right now for the division. But like you said, they're just three games out of a wild card spot, so you can't really give up the ship just yet. And if they can figure out a way to kind of navigate through this situation that they've been facing and get a little bit more production. And I wanted to talk to you when it comes to production about their starting pitching, because Syndergaard to me hasn't been pitching the way that he normally does. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree. Syndergaard hasn't been himself this year, mainly because his slider is gone. He's completely lost the feel for it, which was a big pitch for him, that 92 mile per hour slider. And it's just, you know, he hasn't been able to throw it this year. One thing I will credit him to, though, is he fought through six innings, through 116 pitches against the Dodgers the other night, and only gave up three runs. It was still a quality start. And so I do give him credit for that against a really good Dodger lineup. So that was hopefully a step in the right direction.
So let's talk about Mickey Callaway. You know, you said he brought in a bunch of relievers with a huge lead. He was under fire a few weeks ago. The GM had to come out and say that he endorses Mickey Callaway as his manager. Do you think he's trending backwards just a little bit, or do you think he's still fine for the foreseeable future?
Well, I don't think he's fine for the foreseeable future, especially if they fall out of contention. I think he'll be gone. But at the same time, the team has played better since that debacle of a series getting swept in Miami about 2 weeks ago. And the team has played well. On that homestand, they went 6-1, and you know, they looked really good. And the bullpen now has been the biggest issue because guys again are fatigued. They've been down Seth Lugo, who's been arguably their best reliever. And he's had to throw unproven guys in high-leverage situations, such as Daniel Zamora and Tyler Bassler, who do have live arms and they do have talent. You know, they're not just like journeyman relievers, but at the same time, they're not really ready to be in those situations. That I think that they could use some more time down in Syracuse and hopefully help the team more down the road. For Callaway, though, I mean, he's still kind of making the same mistakes. You know, I don't agree with his move to bring in those top three relievers, as I previously said. But at the same time, he doesn't trust the back end or the lower half of the bullpen. And that's, I think, drives part of his decision, you know, to do what he did.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. The Mets have the Diamondbacks and the Giants coming up this week. Do you think they can rebound from this series out in L.A.?
I do. I think that they really can. You know, they put up a good fight against the Dodgers, and unfortunately, blowing the third game when they really should have split against a really good Dodger team. Now, you know, they just need to bounce back and have short memories and go out there and there's no reason why they shouldn't at least win two out of three against Arizona this weekend. Arizona's about in the same boat as them, hovering around 500 right now, but this is a huge series for both teams, and hopefully the Mets will come out with at least a series win. And as for the Giants have struggled all year, and that should at least, you know, they should be able to capitalize. The Mets actually have an 18-13 record against sub 500 teams this year, and they are now 9-16 against teams above 500 as of their loss yesterday to the Dodgers. So an old saying, classic saying in baseball is for contenders, if you play 500 against the good teams and beat up on the teams that you're on the sub 500 teams, then you'll be in the race by the end, at least, you know, and if not, hopefully in the playoffs too. So, you know, if they just need to improve a bit, hopefully in the bullpen, and improve against these better teams, you know, and they'll be in the race, I think.
I would think so, if they can manage to do that. One of the good moves, I thought, the Mets general manager made at the beginning of the year was having Alonso as part of the Mets and not worrying about, you know, option years or things like that, just bringing him straight up from spring training and onto the Mets this year. He's having a pretty decent season, wouldn't you say?
Yes, he's been tremendous this year. Right now, he's on pace to definitely win the Rookie of the Year. He hit his 19th home run the other night, tying Mark McGwire for a pre-All-Star break rookie record in Major League history. And he also, I believe, leads the league right now in home runs, or is tied for the league lead in home runs at 19. And he also set a rookie record for 10 home runs in the month of May. So he's been very impressive. And we heard that his defense was an issue, but he's been above average, I'd say, in the field as well. So Alonso's been great, and he's pretty much saved the Mets season, I'd say. If he wasn't up in the beginning of the season, who knows where they'd be right now.
Oh, I would definitely agree with you there. Changing our conversation over to the Giants real quick. They have their OTAs, and it was interesting that Chris Sims, son of the former Giants quarterback, came out with his rankings of 40 of the NFL quarterbacks, and he listed Eli at number 34. Do you think that's a little bit too low for Eli, or do you think that's right about where Eli should be, noting that Eli is behind some backup QBs on some teams?
I do think that it's very very low and a bit of a harsh ranking, especially since there's only 32 teams in the league. He also had Ryan Tannehill at 33 there in front of Eli, and I disagree with that.
I agree with you there. I think he should be above Tannehill.
Yes, I agree with you there, Jay, and I also feel that Eli, while he's not, you know, he's not what he was, and he's certainly, like, not above average at this point, I'd say, he's still a guy who can win you games. He's clutch. Yeah, we saw it in the second half there when the Giants upgraded their offensive line, when they got Jamon Brown from the Los Angeles Rams to play right guard. They vastly improved, and the Giants could have gone 6-1 in the end of the season. Their defense actually blew two wins that they would have had down the stretch. They ultimately went 4-4 in their final eight games, but Eli and the offense averaged 27 points a game, and they put up enough to win each game. As for the ranking, I'd say Eli, if I were to put Eli ranking in the whole league, all the quarterbacks, I'd say that Eli could come in somewhere around 23, 24, I'd say is a fair ranking at this point in his career.
Okay. I would say that's probably pretty good. I would say that Eli is probably right there where you put him. DeAndre Baker has also been showing up in OTAs. Again, there's only so much you can do to judge some of these guys, but apparently he's been standing out in OTAs as a shutdown corner for the Giants.
Yes, Baker was a shutdown corner at Georgia, so he's pretty much picking up where he left off. He only allowed one touchdown in his whole collegiate career playing in the SEC, playing against teams like Alabama, LSU every year, playing against the top competition. So that's very, very impressive. And I think that he, you know, he's competing with Sam Beal for the outside corner spot. It's really going to be between those two as Jack Rabbit, Janoris Jenkins is locked in on the opposite side of them. Baker was a great selection, I feel, in the end of the first round. And I think he's really going to help this team right away. I want to actually touch on the other cornerback who
sure.
drafted in the fourth round, Julian Love from Notre Dame. He's also stood out to me at OTA so far. He's been making plays all over the field, and he also was a pass breakup machine in college and led college football in 2017 with 20 pass breakups in a season. And he's been doing just that in practice every day from what I've seen from the film.
And I think they're going to get tested during the course of this upcoming season. Eagles have a bunch of pretty good receivers, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson being back, to name two of them. Dallas has a pretty good set of wide receivers on their team as well. So these young guys are going to get tested right from the go, I think, on the Giants.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. You got obviously the veteran in Janoris Jenkins, and then you got a nice young core of DeAndre Baker, Julian Love, Grant Haley, and Sam Beal. And then also I want to talk about the safety position.
Sure.
The new Giants safeties who they just brought in Jabril Peppers and Antoine Bethea have really impressed so far too. And there's a lot of – they were praising their communication in the backfield because Bethea played for a few seasons under James Betcher in Arizona, and Peppers' ability, you know, to play fast and physical, and he's really good in coverage and has made some plays, you know, in the secondary already. And I think that they really upgraded their safety tandem this year despite losing Landon Collins.
I agree with you there. Just to double back real quick to the Mets, they've got a big series with the Diamondbacks coming up this week. Do you think they can take, again, final predictions here, do you think they can take 2 out of 3, if not sweep the Diamondbacks?
I do think so. I think that the Mets, coming into the Dodger series, the Mets were playing better baseball than the Diamondbacks as of recently. You have Jacob DeGrom on the mound tonight. He didn't particularly pitch like himself and hasn't particularly pitched by himself this season. He hasn't pitched like the Jacob DeGrom that we all know.
Yep.
His Cy Young season and his previous seasons. But, you know, I would look for him to get on a roll. We have seen it recently. Two starts ago against the Nationals, he pitched 7 and only gave up a run and dominated. So I think that DeGrom, you know, has his stuff tonight and Wheeler in game 2. And then we got Steven Matz, who's been dominant in game 3. And as long as the bullpen, you know, is well-rested now after the big guys didn't pitch last night and they hold it down this weekend and the bats hit like they've been hitting up until last night, I think that the Mets should at least win 2 out of 3. A sweep might be asking for a bit of a stretch, considering both teams are kind of on similar levels right now, but you know, they absolutely need to win at least 2 games this weekend.
I would agree with you there. Pat, we enjoyed having you on the show this week. We can't wait to talk to you again next week. Can you let everybody know what you got coming up at fansided.com and mesmerized.com this week?
Well, this week we just have more of OTAs, you know, and getting ready for mini camp in June getting prepped for training camp, like just stories and everything surrounding the Giants. And with the Mets, we'll just keeping you updated on the injuries. Guys hopefully are going to be coming back in. Jeff McNeil pretty soon, Robinson Cano and Seth Lugo are the big ones.
Definitely.
But we will keep you updated on that. And also the results of the Mets next week or so. And hopefully they'll get back on a roll before they went out west to L.A., and hopefully they'll be climbing back in the race pretty soon.
Hopefully they can get on that roll that you predicted, Pat. Can't wait to talk to you again next week, and hopefully people will give you a follow at Ragazzo Report on Twitter.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks a lot for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure on this side too, Pat. Enjoy the weekend. Hopefully everything goes well for the Mets this weekend.
Thank you. You too. Take care, Jay.
All right. And, of course, that was Pat Ragazzo. As we said, you can give him a follow at Ragazzo Report and check out his work at MetsMorize.com and the Giants Wire. As we do each and every week, we are going to take a trip back in our time machine, and we are going to find out what happened this week in sports history.
Welcome to This Week in Sports History, sponsored by Wildflowers Restaurant. I am Jeff Selner. Let's dive right into the history books. On June 3rd in 1888, Casey at the Bat was published in the San Francisco Examiner. The poem is about a baseball team from the fictional town of Mudville. The home team is trailing by 2 runs in the last inning. Both the team and its fans, a crowd of 5,000, believe they can win if their star player Casey gets to bat. However, he is scheduled to be the 5th batter of the inning. The first 2 batters fail to get on base. The next 2 batters both get hits. Casey comes to bat takes the first two pitches, both called strikes, and the overconfident Casey strikes out swinging, ending the game and sending the crowd home unhappy. On June 4th, 1968, Don Drysdale, a starting pitcher for the LA Dodgers, blanked the Pirates 5-0, allowing just three hits while striking out eight batters. The victory was Drysdale's sixth shutout in a row and gave him 54 straight scoreless innings. The sixth straight shutout broke the mark of five, held by Doc White of the 1904 White Sox. On June 5th, in 1957, New York narcotics investigator Dr. Herbert Berger urges the American Medical Association to investigate the use of stimulating drugs by athletes. On June 6th, in 2010, Rafael Nadal won the French Open of Tennis for the fifth time, defeating Robin Söderling in straight sets 6-4, 6-2, 6-4. Nadal, who turned pro in 2001, has won 16 Grand Slam titles to date, including 10 French Opens. On June 7th, in 1983, Steve Carlton of the Philadelphia Phillies struck out Lonnie Smith for his 3,522nd career strikeout to pass Nolan Ryan as the all-time strikeout leader. Carlton would end his career with 4,136 strikeouts. Nolan Ryan would regain the title as the all-time strikeout leader with 5,714. As impressive as Steve Carlton's strikeouts was, just as impressive was his win-loss record of 329 and 244 losses. Carlton was inducted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in 1994. On June 8th, in 1989, the Pittsburgh Pirates scored 10 runs in the first inning in a game against the Philadelphia Phillies at Veterans Stadium. With 18,511 fans on hand, the Phillies staged an epic comeback, winning the game 15-11 as Von Hayes and Steve Jeltz each hit two home runs. During the game, Pirates broadcaster and former pitcher Jim Rooker offhandedly told his radio audience that if the Pirates blew that 10-run lead, he would walk back to Pittsburgh. A few months later, over a 13-day stretch, Rooker covered 320 miles on foot through the Pennsylvania countryside. The media was all over Jim Rooker's unintentional walk that ended on October 17th at Three Rivers Stadium. Radio, TV, and newspapers hyped the walk and provided updates. On June 9th, in 1973, Secretariat won the Belmont Stakes to become the first Triple Crown winner since Citation in 1948. Secretariat ran the mile and a half in 2 minutes 24 seconds, a world record many believe will never be broken. With the nickname Big Red, Secretariat is regarded as one of the greatest racehorses of all time, winning 16 of 21 races. Thank you for listening to This Week in Sports History, sponsored by Wildflowers Restaurant. I am Jeff Selner.
And we're back here on the Sports Skillet Radio Show. Thank you for joining us each and every week here on our live stream. And, of course, we have something to pass along to you. I want to ask you a question out there. Exotic vacations, plane trips abroad, new adventures, they all add up to the perfect summer, right? Are you with me? Well, sometimes new and memorable experiences don't require mortgaging the house or even booking a flight somewhere. Do you know that discovering a hidden gem close to home can be even more rewarding than a well-planned faraway vacation? If you have not yet experienced the serenity and beauty of Cherry Valley Country Club in Skillman, which was awarded the 2016 Club of the Year by the New Jersey Golf Foundation, you simply must sign up today for the 11th annual Knights of Columbus Tony Muschietti Memorial Golf Outing on Monday, July 22nd. Take a three-day weekend. What could be better than that? We promise this and so much more. A delicious breakfast and lunch buffet prepared by award-winning Chef Chris. Chance to win a foursome at the Trump National Golf Course in Bedminster, New Jersey. Chance to win foursomes, top-of-the-line clubs, and lessons. voucher for a free golf club for everyone that shows up. If you just come out to our golf outing on Monday, July 22nd, we're going to hand you a voucher for a free golf club. Witness our first ever helicopter ball drop. Now, guys, you want to be here for that. Why do I say this? Because everybody that comes out for it is going to post this helicopter ball drop on their social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They're going to post this. It will be all over social media. You do not want to be the one that stayed home and missed out and didn't experience this helicopter ball drop. What you're going to be able to do is purchase golf balls. If your golf ball lands, is the first one to land in the hole or is the closest one to it. If none land in the hole, you are going to win a spectacular prize. I'm not going to reveal what it is, but you can go to our website, sportskilletradio.com, and register. And let me tell you, it's going to be a spectacular prize. But you want to witness the balls being dropped out of the helicopter, splashing down on the golf course. You do not want to miss it. You want to be part of that. Trust me on that. And then we're also going to have, for the skilled golfers out there, you don't have to be skilled. We just want you to come out. But if you get lucky, you could win $10,000. Who couldn't use in this economy right now, this summer, $10,000? Maybe you have a vacation plan for August. You go out, you hit a hole in one. You could come away with 10 grand, and you could use that in any number of ways. Everybody could use 10 grand. Hit a hole in one and win 10 grand. Are you still on the fence? Have I not convinced you? Are you still on the fence? At the end of the day, you can then jump in and relax in Cherry Valley's Olympic-sized pool for just an extra $15. So you're hot, you're sweaty, it's the end of July, you come off the golf course, you have a tremendous buffet lunch, have some cocktails as well. Let me tell you, Cherry Valley has this awesome tiki hut that serves cocktails right by the pool. So, I mean, you come out of the pool, you grab a cocktail, or you grab a cocktail, relax by the pool, then you jump in for just an extra $15. You can't go wrong with, we give you so much more than every other golf outing in the area. Swimming, prizes, ball drop, you name it, we have it for you. It is literally unbelievable. New experiences don't always require exhaustive plans and costs. Sign up today for an early bird price for just $160, which if you go to any other golf outing in the area, we are less or just as competitive as they are. And we give you so much more. Hey, and I'll even tell you what you get too as well. You get a commemorative photo of your group. That's coming out. We also have something else that we're going to be posting as well, encouraging people to go out and recruit golfers. So you want to check back at the website too. Just go to our website, sportskilletradio.com. The link is there. And you want to keep going back to it because we are going to keep updating the website as we go, as we put more and exciting prizes together. You just want to keep checking back. Just go to sportskilletradio.com, click on the link, sign up today. We want to see you there Monday, July 22nd. Take a 3-day weekend. You deserve it. You've earned it. And come out to the 11th annual Knights of Columbus Tony Muschietti Golf Outing. We want to see you there. It's going to be a fun day. Everybody's going to be having fun. Pictures are going to be posted on social media. We give you a commemorative photo. What other golf outing does that for you? Free photo. We want to see you there. So I did my pitch for the golf outing. So as we wrap up this live stream this week, what we are going to do is I want to go over and I want to talk about AEW, All Elite Wrestling, with you real quick. I think they are coming up. They are big time. They had their first card this past week. It was absolutely amazing. You definitely want to check it out if you have the money for it. I know it's very expensive. They charge the $59.99 or whatever it was, $49.99, the $50. for the pay-per-view. I think it should be less. I don't think many people are apt to pay the $60 for a pay-per-view in this day and age. I think with the WWE Network and such, it's a tough ask to have people pay $60. But the card was tremendous. The big thing to come out of it is Dean Ambrose, former WWE superstar, is now fully ensconced in AEW. He signed a multi-year deal with them, so he's going to be near the top of the card with Chris Jericho. Awesome Kong was also there as well in the women's division. They are literally unloading against the WWE. Cody Rhodes smashed a throne with a sledgehammer before his match with his brother Dustin, which was a 5-star match. Excellent match. But, of course, he was smashing the throne with the sledgehammer as a little jab there, jab at Triple H. So they are going all in against the WWE. Right now they're not going per se head to head with them on Monday or Tuesday nights, but I think as time rolls along and as they get more established, believe I read where they've got a television contract now with TNT, so eventually they're going to have broadcasts there. They are building up their roster. Like I said, you got Chris Jericho in there. You've got the Rhodes brothers, Cody and Dustin Rhodes are in there now. Dean Ambrose is in there now. Just star-packed. They've got Dean Malenko that they brought in to help train some of these superstars and young wrestlers. They've got Jim Ross doing commentary and lending his expertise to All Elite Wrestling. And for WWE, they've got to up their game. I hope you agree with me on that. WWE has to go in there and has to impress upon the writers, that the script writers that they have, the wrestlers that they have under contract, that you have to go out now and you have to give your all, and you have to put these wrestlers in positions to not only succeed but to win over fans. You can't bury some of these guys in bad programs. You have to elevate them. You have to keep these superstars fresh and engaging and in compelling storylines, because AEW is right there and is knocking on the WWE's door. And as we go along, I can see them gaining more and more of the WWE's fans. It happened before when Nitro, way back in the, you know, the WWE War, Monday Night War days, you saw it with Nitro. Well, it could be coming again with AEW. They've got a talented stable of wrestlers, and they're also giving wrestlers another place where they can go and ply their craft and do promos the way they want to do them. And that's one of the things, too, with the Rhodes brothers. They know how to run. And all these talented people that they're bringing in, people that know what they want out of a wrestling organization, know what they want out of a talent acquisition point of view. So they're going to be gunning for the WWE, and WWE wrestlers who are not being promoted the right way or feel that they've been underutilized or put in these programs that are ridiculous. That's kind of what Dean Ambrose said this past week. And, you know, he said, you know, he's grateful for the WWE for his run there and for getting him to where he is today. But he was very dissatisfied with the program that he was in and how he was being used, and especially one particular promo that he had to cut really solidified things for him. And, you know, for the WWE, they're going to lose personnel and talented people unless they get up off the mat, write better promo, allow these wrestlers to grow, maybe, you know, get rid of the PG rating or allow wrestlers to do their own promos, write their own script, and don't be so heavy-handed about it. Because if not, if it's the same old, and you're running out Brock Lesnar and you're going to give him a title back, people are going to turn off and they're going to go to AEW, which right now is a really good product. I would highly recommend you guys checking them out. And we'll discuss that and more next week here on the Sports Skillet podcast. So we want to thank you for joining us here on the live stream. And again, we want to encourage you to check out our show every Sunday at 11 a.m. on Fox Sports Radio, 920 The Jersey. You can also download our app at sportskillerradio.com. So if you happen to be at the beach or you're on vacation or you're in your car or wherever you may be, you can check us out at your leisure. You know, we're going to have the podcast going up there, the live streams going up there. We want to engage with you. Again, just do a search for us on social media. Do a search for Sports Skillet. We'll pop up there. We got compelling content, or post your own content. Engage with us. If it's important to you, it's important to us. So if you have a topic you want to discuss with us, talk about with us, engage with us, post on our social media sites. We are right there for you. We got a big game number two coming up this coming Sunday with the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors. Who do you think is going to win? Let us know on our social media pages. Kelly is, of course, going to be rooting for the Golden State Warriors to make it a 1-1 series. I think Toronto Raptors are going to take game two. Kevin Durant has been ruled out, so he will not be playing in the second game. So I think that puts the Golden State Warriors, again, they're going to have to adapt. It's going to focus more attention on Steph Curry and all the other players on the Warriors. You know, it's going to be a tough road, I think, for Golden State, unless they get Kevin Durant back. You know, again, it's going to be in Toronto, so Toronto's going to have that home court advantage again. I think Toronto can go up 2-0, and then the Heat is really going to be on the Golden State Warriors to see if they can steal a game back in Oakland against the Raptors. But again, tune in Sunday morning, 11 a.m., Fox Sports Radio, 920 The Jersey, and sportskillerradio.com. We will have Jeff there live, and we will have a great guest lined up for you as well. So we will see you Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Enjoy the weekend, everybody, and see you Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Here we go.
Local and national sports talk that's fresh, in season, and FDA approved.
If it's hot, you'll find it cooking with Jeff, Jay, and Kelly. Mm-mm. They don't just stir the pot. They add more flavor than the other guys. Get ready to dig in and taste some sports skillet.
Ooh, tastes good.